Canada.
Looks like we lost some people. They'll be back. Okay. Well, let's pray again, and then we'll move into the passages. Father, we thank you that you are so gracious to us. You are our great shepherd. Thank you for these many points that the Psalm 23 makes to assure us that we are safe in your hands. Now guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the last of our three statements. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'll begin with the first statement, which faces us from the beginning with some questions. Every Christian should live a life which could be described by the phrase, "My cup runneth over." Our cup is running over when we're growing in the Word of God. Our cup is running over when we're governed by the Holy Spirit. Our cup is running over with truth as we grow in that truth and get deeper in our walk with the Lord. Another way to know if we're growing in our spiritual life and our cup is running over is to test ourselves as to whether or not we're showing in our life the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is this: love. Do we love others? That's part of your cup running over. Joy. Are you happy with who you are and where you are? God has put you there. Peace. Not jumpy and fearful and discouraged and uncertain and unsettled. Long-suffering. Able to bear the misunderstanding and mistreatment of men. Kindness. A graciousness in our actions and encounters with others. Goodness. Wishing the best for others and joyful when they're blessed. Faithfulness to the Lord and His Word and His house and His church. Gentleness, not harsh, but kind and thoughtful and tender and patient with others. Not one who loses control of their emotions or language over small things. Yes, every year we should show a steady growth of all these areas of the Holy Spirit, and we should see our cup running over more and more and more and more and more as we grow in the Lord, as the Lord shapes us and molds us to become more and more like Him. Our cup is running over more and more also. That is what it is to have our cupping running over. Joy with the Lord as we live. Humility. Does that not describe our Lord? No self-seeking. Service to others. Our Lord was centered on serving other people. Righteousness, which means holy and pure in our lives like He was. Only then will our cup be running over. Pure in thoughts and all of our work for Him. Love, loving others as He loved us. Forgiveness, as He was also one who forgived others, as He cried even as He was crucified, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yes, He did this when they were killing Him. Compassion. His heart burned for the human race, the needs. His cup ran over as He had a burden for lost souls. Endurance. He endured the cross, not for Himself primarily, but for others. Submission to His Father and His Father's will. Obedience. I long to do Thy will, O God. His Christ's cup ran over to obey His Father, and so should we. Kindness and understanding of the sadness of men, and a cup which ran over as He longed, desire to help us. Again, I ask, should not our cup run over in the attributes our Lord possessed and in these areas that we've just mentioned? Then will not our cup be running over, as the song says? Like the woman at the well, I was seeking, her cup was empty, for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well, that never shall run dry. There are millions in this world who are seeking for pleasures earthly goods afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ, my Lord. So, my brother, if the things the world gives you leaves hunger that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him and humbly pray. And here, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Surely our cup does run over when we know the Lord and are faithful to him. And as we love him and serve him, a story is told of a king who placed a heavy stone in the road. That sounds strange, doesn't it? A king placing a heavy stone in the middle of a road. And then he hid to see who would remove it. Men of various classes came and worked their way around the stone. And some even loudly blamed the king for not keeping the highways clear. But they all went on without moving the stone. Finally, the king, still hidden and watching, saw a poor man come by his way, on his way to town even. He was pulling a heavy cart of vegetables to sell, and he was all by himself without even a horse to help pull the heavy load he had. He could have gone around the stone too, which would have been less effort. But he thought of the next traveler and that he might be older or less able to remove the heavy stone from the road for many people had other horses and things that pulled their things behind them, which they put their, what they were going to buy in town or what they're going to sell in town. So after finding a strong limb which would not break, he used the limb to move the stone from the road. And after about an hour of huffing and puffing and sweating and groaning, the stone was gone from the road. The king had removed it. And the man had pushed the stone as far, it wasn't the king that removed it, but it was this man that had pushed the stone as far as he could. But while he was doing that, pushing it, the king put a purse in the place the stone had been, as the man's back had been turned to get large stones off the road as far as possible. And when he opened the purse, when the man opened the purse, as he found it there lying on the place where the stone was, he found it full of gold pieces with a note from the king saying, "This is for the one who would remove the stone from the road." It speaks to us, doesn't it? Surely, as we are faithful to our Lord in many areas of our life, God rewards us and blesses us, and our cup in so many ways runs over as a Christian, not just to get the reward, but because of our love and commitment for him that we enjoy doing his will. That is when our cup is running over. When we're faithful in service to him and love him and serve him, then our cups run over. If we're weak and reject opportunities to serve the Lord, our cup might even be empty. We might even be lost. But second, every Christian should live a life which is described by the phrase, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The verse before us now begins with the word surely, S-U-R-E-L-Y, not S-H-I-R-L-E-Y. Not the woman's name, surely, S-U-R-E-L-Y. Is there any word more certain than surely? Do you realize how many words we have that speak of certainty? Well, there is surely, certainty, positively, absolutely, definitely, undoubtedly, unquestionably, undeniably, no doubt about it, beyond the shadow of any doubt, you can go to the bank on it. But surely is a word there also. Surely. Without a doubt, positively, absolutely, undoubtedly, unquestionably, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, go to the bank with it. The verse continues with two words of blessing, goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy is following us all the days of our life. That says God is full of goodness and mercy as we live for him. Which is to say that God's grace and mercy has saved us, and his grace and mercy will continue to bless us continually Surely, goodness and mercy. And then the next phrase is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Can you imagine that? The goodness and mercy of God follows me. What could be greater than that? God's goodness and mercy following me daily, following you daily. God's goodness and mercy will not just be with me, which is true, but goodness and mercy will follow me, which is to say that God follows us through all of our lives. If we're a Christian, a dedicated Christian, every second of every minute of every hour of every day, don't get the wrong idea here. But God, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Annie Johnson Flint put it this way, just in case we might think this passage means we will have no trials or heartaches or sorrows in life because God follows me. Oh yeah, God's with me. Boy, I'm not going to get any. That's what some of the people say when they go to these false teachers. They make promises that if they do this, then this never will happen to them. Well, this poem tells us different. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, sweet, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Isn't that what we really want? Strength for the day, rest from our labor, light for our pathway, grace in the midst of our trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Yes, God has promised those things. He's promised strength for every day, rest for the labor, light for our way, grace for our trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. What a glorious promise this is. Goodness and mercy follow us. But the verse continues. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, if I'm a Christian. Boy, what welcome guests these are. There are times when we do not want someone following us. Down a dark street or down a dark alley or through a deserted place or some country somewhere. More and more in our day and age, it's increasingly dangerous to go alone in places which are dark and deserted. Certainly, it is wisdom not to go to such a place alone. But our text speaks of a spiritual need as we walk through this world. God's goodness and mercy will be our guests daily as we live because we know the Lord, goodness and mercy will walk with us every day of our lives. There's a song with these very words in it. A pilgrim was I on a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guides me each step of the way. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there. And safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. And the chorus, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What a great company. Goodness and mercy following us daily, all the days of our lives, as we travel through this world, if we know Jesus. Goodness and mercy all the days of our lives following us. This leads us to our next thought, final thought of Psalm 23. The Lord not only follows us daily, but someday every Christian will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For some, the scriptures stated here puzzling, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some might even say, well, what are we going to do there? It kind of can be kind of boring there forever, dwelling with the Lord. And perhaps some who are not Christians make fun of us who look forward to a great glorious heaven. But take note of the three thoughts which the psalmist brings out in this passage. The psalmist is convinced that he will live somewhere after he dies. I will dwell somewhere. And he believes and is convinced that he will live in the Lord's house after he dies. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And he again believes that he will live forever in the Lord's house. I will dwell somewhere in the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will be in heaven after I die. Yet some men believe one just ceases to exist after death. They're convinced that there is no life after death. How sad. Clearly, the psalmist has the biblical view. It is clear that he will be alive after death. It is clear his life will be a real life after death, as it was before death. And it is that his soul will sleep, not that his soul will sleep for all eternity. And then he will wake up. Some say we never will wake up. But we will die, and we in our spirit will be with the Lord. Our body will be in the grave until the Lord Jesus comes and lifts our bodies. But we still will be alive. The word dwells means we'll live somewhere forever. Dwell means to be alive somewhere, and in that hour we shall have eventually a perfect body after Christ comes. The poet has written, the clock of life is wound but once. No man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss, and God will not restore. To save one's soul is joy indeed, and none can save but Christ. So come to him before you die. His death has paid the price. So if you long to find a home in heaven when soon you die, in Christ you live, and nevermore shall die. But if you fail to bow to him, in hell you'll live when dead, and suffer there forevermore, not sleep, as some have said. Eternal life or cold death, which will it be for you? Awake, well, you'll be in either place. You'll either be in hell or you'll be in heaven. Yes, the psalmist was certain that he and all believers would live in the house of the Lord after their death forever and ever and ever and ever. We will die. Our bodies will be in the grave, but our soul will never die. Our soul would go directly to be with the Lord. But let me take this truth a little further, as found in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. All believers, including the psalmist, will live in a glorified body in heaven. The same body, but a changed body. A glorified body. Now I say again, this is after we have died. The body was lying in the grave. The soul goes to be with the Lord. The Lord raises, when he comes again, our bodies out of the grave. And he reunites our bodies and souls. But all believers, including the psalmist, will live in a glorified body in heaven after all of what we just said. The same body, but a changed body. You will have the same body when the Lord raised you from the dead. you may lie in the body for 200, 300 years, and boy, you'll really look ugly. But when the Lord raises you, he will renew your body. Behold, I show you a mystery. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It is true that the body we have now is a marvelous thing. And truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139:14 says. But I will tell you of something more glorious than any of the above. My body will be changed at the resurrection hour. When Jesus comes, he will pull my old dead body out of the grave, just as Paul tells us. Some bodies will have been in the grave for years and 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 decades and centuries. And some may even have been in the grave who knows how long. Some just a few years, some of many days. But listen to Paul, what he says about our change. For this corruptible body, that old rotten corruptible body, must put on incorruption. And this mortal body must put on immortality. So when this corruptible body shall have been put on incorruption, and this mortal body shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, like the psalmist, had a certainty that he would live in the house of the Lord forever with the Lord in a new and glorified body. No wonder the psalmist was certain of the facts also that he will live somewhere after he dies, and he will live in the Lord's house after he dies, and he will live forever in the Lord's house after he dies. And so will you and I, if we know him. The story is told of a 5-year-old boy who will never be forgotten by those who knew him. He was dying of cancer, which is a terrifying disease in its final stages. The lung fills with fluid, and the patient is unable to breathe. It's terrible, especially for a child who may not understand such things or what's going on. But the little boy had a Christian mother who loved him and stayed by his side through his long ordeal. She cradled him on her lap. She talked to him softly about the Lord Jesus as she was preparing her son for the final hours of life. A nurse one day came to his mother and told her that she heard this lad talking about bells. He said, "The bells are ringing. I can hear them." The nurse thought he was hallucinating because he was already slipping away, and she left. But then she returned a few minutes later, and he was talking about the bells. And the nurse said to the mother when she came in, "I'm sure you know your boy is hearing again the bells. He's hallucinating because of his sickness." The mother pulled her son closer to her chest and smiled. She said, "No, nurse, he's not hallucinating. I told him when he was frightened, when he could not breathe, if he would listen, certainly he could hear the bells of heaven calling for him." "That's what he has been talking about all day," the mother said to the nurse. The little boy died on his mother's lap later that evening, and he was still talking about the bells of heaven, where he would see the Lord, and he would go home to be with the Lord in heaven. I don't know if this young man really heard the bells, but this little boy certainly went home to heaven with joy and peace to be with Jesus. Should not we all go home to Jesus in that way? Someone has written, "When I die, don't cry for me. In my arms I'll be, in my Father's arms I'll be. The wounds this world left on my soul will all be washed and I'll be whole. Sun and moon will be replaced with the light of Jesus' face. And I will not be then ashamed, for my Savior knows my name. I don't care where they bury me, I'll be home and I'll be free. I don't care where I will lay, all my sins are washed away. Come and eat from heaven's store, come and drink and thirst no more. Weep not for me, my dearest friend, my time in heaven will never end. At this hour's life belongs to him who will raise the dead again. It doesn't matter where I lay, all my sins are washed away. Washed away, washed away. All my tears and all my sins are washed away. I'm going home, just going home." I'm sure we all know this one. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus, Christ who died for me. Only faintly now I see him with a darkened veil between. But a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. What rejoicing in his presence when our banished grief and pain, when crooked ways are straightened and dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I shall see him by and by. Yes, that's so true as we've been speaking of my cup running over, goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. And when it's all over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What could be better than that? Dwelling in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever in a glorified body. I just can't hardly understand it or take it all in. I trust the Lord has spoken to our hearts. Father, thank you. These are such glorious truths that we've been talking about. This last one and all the others, our cup running over, goodness and mercy with us all the days of our lives, and then going to dwell with Jesus in heaven. Father, we think about the future. We think about death. We see other people die. And we get older and older and older, closer and closer. But we pray that you'll give us an understanding that there's nothing to fear. Our Lord is waiting for us. And truly our lives will be greater when we leave this world and go to be with him. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And thank you for this beautiful psalm, which teaches us more of you and more of your Son and more of your love for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If I was a sheep, I would want a good shepherd, wouldn't you? Especially after I heard about those flies in your nose. I wouldn't want a shepherd that would let those flies get in my nose. And since they weren't in his nose, he didn't think about my nose. He just let me go on with my life with flies in my nose. And if I was a sheep, I would want a shepherd that would make sure that where I went would be a place where I could get plenty of food and be safe and comforted. Because as Doc has told us, sheep have a lot of trials. Scabs, the flies, the wolves, various animals and insects that they're exposed to. So for a shepherd to watch out for a sheep being what they are, we need a good shepherd. But of course the Bible tells us that we are the sheep of his pasture, that he is the good shepherd. So that, although figurative, is speaking a literal truth. We are the sheep of the pasture of God. And God does, as a good shepherd, watch out for us and care for us and seek our well-being all the day long, and has promised us to dwell in his house forever. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so our Lord Jesus is our great shepherd. Thank you, Doc, for coming. Thank you all tonight for being here. And if you would like to join us after for some food, we're going to eat, aren't we? You're certainly welcome to do so. Let's all stand.